Yang Create Hub. For those who haven't been with us for the last 3 days, it's been already pretty amazing. The Creative Hub is supporting 62 artists across 3 weeks to be in residence at the City Echo Arts Centre. The artists can come in and out as they wish. They can work in studios, but also as part of that, we had 2 grounding days together to meet each other, find what's potentially interesting and what we want to investigate. And we're also having a series of public programs, which is small group discussions, panel discussions, and some workshops as well. Of course, I do want to say, acknowledge the First Nations people. Right now, at the Echo Arts Centre, first panel of 3 panels. We did this last year in our Creative Hub, and what we've discussed, we've been working with an artist advisory of 4 artists and the Performing Arts WA team, and we really want these panels to be kind of pitching that big picture ideas and help us to think sort of outside our own bubbles and getting a bit inspired. And this first one, this first one's been pretty complex, I've got to say. We've had a lot of discussions. It's a big topic about how we're living right now, how we're dealing with our lives as artists, but also just in modern day life. And I'm going to introduce Shona Erskine, who professionally is Dr. Shona Erskine, a psychologist who specialises in organisational psychology and performance and creativity. So she's pretty perfect for the job. But also I wanted to tell you that give her a personal Shona and I grew up in Canberra, and we both went to the same ballet school, and we both went to the Victorian College of the Arts, and then we both ended up here in Perth. And Shona is an amazing dancer and choreographer, and has been an incredible collaborator. So her artistic practice is also something to be reckoned with. So I think it's good for us to remember where we all come from.
Including you.
It's not about me too. So I'm just going to give it to Shona and say thank you, everybody, for coming. As you can see, we're trying to make it pretty informal. And we've got the other question and answer at the end. So let's see what happens.
Thank you, Rachel.
Can you all hear me okay?
They're audio recording it, so I will use the mic.
Thank you for coming along to this conversation. So as Rachel alluded, we've actually been in conversation about this for a number of weeks, and I've been writing and sending things in, and then they've been commenting, and I've been thinking and then writing some more and sending more stuff in, and it's gone round and round. And so this is a beginning. This is a beginning point for us to imagine and then to engage with some structural change in the sector that we work. And we have the most amazing panel to help us unpack what this complex thing is. So may I say, as we talk today, we're actually not even necessarily looking for answers, we're actually possibly even just looking for the right question. And so to help us do that today, we have 3 amazing individuals. So we have Sheila Magadza, thank you. And now Sheila is Executive Director of the Chamber of Culture and the Arts here in WA. And as many of you will probably know, she's had an extensive career as an artistic director and a producer. So she is just incredibly wise and has seen a lot of different shows, a lot of different artists, a lot of different structures and organisations, a lot of different viewpoints. So it's wonderful to have her here. We then have Ian Wilkes. And he is, you may have seen him in Yuri Yarkin's work and Oka's work and CO3's work. He is an artist, educator, and performer, and he's also a founding facilitator with Culture 2.0. Is this right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll own it. Yeah. And so Ian's going to be able to talk
today from a really personal point of view about being an artist, but also working with a lot of different people to make work that is meaningful and important. And on the end here, we have Lily Blue. And Lily is currently Education and Visitor Experience Officer at the Art Gallery of WA, and she's also Creative Consultant at the Sydney Opera House.
I'm actually the Head of Learning and Creativity Research. Yeah.
People should really update their website, I think. I think that would be good for me. Okay, so when I do hand the mic over to our guests, they may reintroduce themselves if they choose. How does that sound? Okay, that sounds great. All right. So here we are. We're going to have a conversation, and I guess that I was invited to facilitate the panel because it starts out as a mental health conversation. So as you will be aware, for about 4 years now, mental health has been quite a focus in the arts, and it started with a paper and some research that was released through Flinders University a number of years ago, and the data that was in that report was... it was a really challenging read, I think, for a lot of people. And I think that a lot of people knew that was there and that was going on for people in the sector. But nonetheless, it's a whole other thing to actually have someone else write about it and show you the data. And so we've had these years since then. And I have to say, as a sector, I'm super, super impressed because there were a number of artists who were generous enough to get up and share their own personal stories as a way to, and I have to say that most people in most sectors don't do that, and I was completely taken aback by people just being able to stand up and go, well, this is what's happening for me. And so that enabled us to personalise the stories and also to locate ourselves in the stories as well, which is really important. And we also have a lot of amazing organisations, and they facilitated a whole lot of support for artists. A lot of organisations just trying to work it out as they went along, actually, I have to say, because there weren't many guidelines on it. And we also had a whole lot of different programs for artists to look after their mental health. Does that sound like what you understand in a nutshell as well? Would that be fair enough? Yeah. So if I now talk about mental health in the arts, you all can kind of nod a bit and go, yeah, I've seen that topic. I know what that's about. All right, great. So there's now a conversation that's been happening. I've been hearing it, Performing Lives has been hearing it, and this is where we're curious. Where you have artists who are deeply connected to what they do and who are understanding a level of self-care and looking after themselves, and then they're meeting structures or organisations or projects that where they're feeling the pressure. They're feeling like they can't be the one who's solely responsible for their self-care, because we're relational creatures and we function in context. And so we can't separate ourselves from those type of environments. If I'm pretty comfortable in my life and don't have very much stress, I don't have to worry about my self-care. How much fun are those moments? But if I'm in a position in my life where I'm under stress, I don't really look after that stuff because that's what I've got to call on. So it's a dance, it's a dyad. Anyone want to add to that? Anyone got any questions about that? Okay, so I'm going to draw an analogy to set this conversation up, okay? I'm going to assume, and I'll get you a confirmation on this, that most of you care about the environment as a group. Have I got that about right? Okay, so that as a group, you understand the concept of recycling, you care about the planet, you understand what we're talking about when we talk about climate action needing to happen, all this kind of stuff. Yeah, all right. So you care about that. It's important to you. And I imagine that you all then engage in a whole series of actions in the world based on the fact that that's an important and meaningful thing to you. Who here tries to ride a bike or catch public transport? Mm-hmm. Who here does their recycling? Mm-hmm. Right. Who here puts solar panels on their house if they can? Mm-hmm. Right, okay. And this takes human effort, right? And you're doing this because it's meaningful to you and you care about it. And what's meaningful to you is your connection to the planet, maybe,
It might be that you feel part of this ecosystem. There might even be a little bit of grief in there about how we got to this place. And all of this comes together in a way that you care and then you show actions in the world. We got that? Okay. So your arts practice, because in my experience, no one practices art unless they care about it, is something that you're also really connected to and is also really meaningful for you. And so you spend an exorbitant amount of your human energy caring about it. Now, as a dance person, for me, I probably could buy an investment property, actually, with the amount that I've spent on my body, getting it touched and rubbed, the ointments, you know, and, like, going to yoga, so many yoga, so many Pilates, like, all that investigation. But I do it because I care, because it makes me better in the studio, and it makes me better on stage. And I work with those relationships that with people that where I want to make the work, and I also invest in it philosophically. You know, there are members of my family who just look at me when I talk and go, oh, okay, proper job. So could you see the parallels between these two places? Yeah. So we're talking about mental health, self-care, and the arts. It's deeply aligned with what's meaningful to us and what we care about, and we don't just care for ourselves. The self-care is about our relationships with others, very, very, very much so. It is the number one thing you look for in a psychologist is how isolated is a person. Because the more isolated they are, the more vulnerable they are. So it's relational. It's also connected to a sense of spirituality. And you may have a codified religion, but you might also just engage in philosophical questions like, what's the meaning of life? And that's important too. That's all self-care. That happens in your artistic domain, right? All those things. Okay. So let's go back to the environment. So I'm doing my recycling because I've got colour-coded bins and I recycle everything, and then I watch what leaves the house because I've got this stream that I can process everything I bring into my property on my property. So if I can't, I look out for it. And I'm unsuccessfully trying to separate the scrunchable plastic from a piece of paper on a window envelope. And I have this rush of white fury. Because I have so many better things to do with my life. So many better things to do than to separate scrunchable plastic from paper. And the reason that I'm furious is because we have a government that is stubbornly ignoring all the scientific data on climate change. And we have inadequate recycling facilities. There are infrastructure that I believe I'm voting for as best I can, and I don't have it. I feel powerless. And so then I feel apathetic, and then I go, stop it. You know what? Plastic is convenience. My life is busy enough. I could do with a bit more convenience. And guess what? The garbage truck picks it up and just takes it away. It's fine. I'm just not going to do this anymore. Who has a parallel experience in their arts practice? Right, that's the rub we're interested in. Because we want to be able to change those structures so that you can continue to engage in a way that's value-driven, with heart, with soul, with health, and to not have those moments of like, I think I have to go into politics. I've done that. I've met with people about that. But I don't want to be. And I wonder, but sometimes I feel so angry, I think, I wonder if I can maintain this anger long enough to become Prime Minister. I wonder if I can. That's how I think about positions of power. I wonder if I can maintain my anger long enough to change the structures. So I'd like you not to be angry in your efforts to change. So this is where we want to start this conversation, is what are our other options? What do we want to change? How can we think about this? Are you with us?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to invite Ian Wilkes to reflect on this conversation.
I'll just hold the mic just in case you can't hear me way up the back. me of many things throughout my career, so I'll kind of just begin with a quick introduction about who I am, what I've done, my career so far. I started, like, straight out of high school, went to a theatre course, and that was all kind of fun at Whopper. Graduated and did a lot of work with Yuri Arkin. And my first kind of works with Yuri Arkin were based around their educational kind of projects and their touring projects and their kids' shows and children's theatre. And so I developed this really strong passion for children's theatre and wanting to kind of express my culture and theatre and jump around and have fun with the kids. And so I thank Yuri Arkin, you know, daily to kind of that for giving me that inspiration. But there were moments, even in children's theatre, where I just, you know, really thought, fuck it, what am I doing? Because, you know, we were touring for 5 weeks and we've all had those kind of feelings where you just get really tired of that. I mean, one example I could give you was a marble bar on a 40-degree day doing 3 shows in a tin roof for the communities there. And the kids' shows that we had these big warm costumes and rugs over us, so I'm sweating under this big whale costume in 40-degree heat at marble bar. We had to do 3 shows, you know? So I remember after that show and that specific experience, it was 5 weeks on tour, finishing in marble bar and sweating and then packing up after the show, knowing that that show was super beneficial for that community and those kids there. But me personally, packing up the set after the show at the truck, I just had to walk away from the truck and I just remember going, what am I doing? And I yelled that out to the desert. And I looked to my left and the stage manager just standing there, nods and smiles. And, you know, so it's those moments that kind of made me reflect on. And I've had plenty of them throughout my career, after doing a lot of children's theatre stuff, and that passion is still there, but I don't tour as much. I made the choice once I had my first child that I'm going to slow down the touring, and that changed me. Becoming a father, I'm a father of 2 boys now, and having that small family now kind of really made me slow down my life and really reflect on, can I be away from them and my partner for 5 weeks on end, sometimes even more, no. And that's the kind of the relationship I have with my partner now. It's like, we've got to talk about if I'm away for 2-3 weeks, then that's okay. But anything further on, it's a bit tricky. So my family, super important, and to prioritise for my own mental health when working. You know, everything I do is for my family and those 2 boys and raising them. They are my priority. And so I'm teaching them language and culture and making sure they're happy in their journey and their path. I think all parents out there want a better life and a better way of life for their children than we had. I know that from experience from my father. And especially being a black fellow, you know, we see the struggles of our elders and our parents and they making a better path for us. So I feel like as a young and up-and-coming leader in my community, I need to do the same. And it doesn't just reflect onto my children, but all children. And so that's why that passion is still there for children's theatre, making sure these young fellas have a way of coming up safely. And so after a lot of my kind of career developments with that, I started to kind of dance a bit with Ochre and do some more performing with dance and contemporary dance and started to do some main stage shows with Yuri Arkin and step aside from touring and the children's stuff. I did a bit of directing and writing. That's about it. I didn't really step in as a performer and tour. So I was immersed in it, but in a different way, a safer way, where I can go home every night, you know. And so the main stage shows started developing and it was a bit different because some of those shows, the context was quite, you know, it's not hand up front and high five kids shows, it's really heavy stuff. Heavy topics that us black fellas are dealing with, you know, the social issues that we struggle with every day, we express in our theatre. And so I began shows like that, and I had this understanding that, you know, I had some wise people around me giving me advice about what I choose to do and what work I choose to take on. And, you know, an amazing woman said to me, your career is defined by what you say no to, not by what you accept. So I found myself looking at the work that I was doing and making sure that I'm doing the right thing and not just taking on work because I need the money. It's taking on work because I want to be a part of it, because it creates further change. And so I look back on a lot of the shows that I've done so far, and they've done that, but with a toll, you know, with a toll on myself, with a toll on my family. It's that touring thing again, but I'm at home, I'm going home every night, but there's still that toll, that weight that is on my shoulders, those rocks, those heavy rocks that are placed on top of me every time I do a show. Because it's unavoidable. I'd love to do a show one day where it's just all fun, happy DJ, dance, 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 I'm all good, or some kind of abstract artwork, but I can't, not yet. You know, as a black fella, we got a long way to go before I can create work like that. I need to make sure that the work that I do reflects as a responsibility to my community. And that's what I hold. And it gets heavy at times, but sometimes I can bear the weight, and sometimes the load is kind of shared amongst the cast, the crew, the collective of who I'm working with. And so more recently, some of you know I did Gala. And so Gala, I'll end with, which was really, really strong, really heavy, but me being a single performer in Gala was different to, say, the year before, which was Hecate. And Hecate, we had this beautiful family, beautiful way of looking after ourselves afterwards. We had Cumbran up outside there. We had that fire, we had that smoke, we had family around us. We were crying, we were hugging each other, we were looking after each other. Mm. And so that was amazing for me to work like that. And really quite kind of healing in a way. And so I wanted to take that and work that with Gala. The struggle for me with Gala was I was only that one single performer. Yeah, I had Nan around me. I had you know, stage managers and cast and crew and directors around me, but that responsibility of holding that story myself and not having others to rely on was huge. And life didn't stop. I was dealing with a lot of other issues that black fellas deal with. Within the festival time, I had to evacuate the fires. We had that week in between where we had to kind of sit at home and isolate for a while. So all that was happening, and, you know, I'm dealing with friends and family, you know, committing suicide and taking heavy drugs and overdosing, and none of that stuff stopped. And so you deal with that life at those moments, and you know you've got this big festival show, and it becomes a lot. But we purposely implicated things that we could do that helped me with that. So I wanted to make my own Cumbria, you know, my own fire, my own yarn, my own kind of way of hugging it out and speaking and crying. And we did that with Performing Lines Help. We did that with Poppy, and we just spoke and yarned. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. Post-festival, I've got a holiday in with my family. My family's from Queensland, and it was huge for me to just get 1 week holiday in. And I needed it, and I could feel my body wanting that. So we went over to Queensland and had a week, come back refreshed, and that's where I'm at now. After that holiday, I've been working and working. And stepping up next to another heavy topic, which is York. So I'll be helping kind of direct York and jumping into that weight and seeing what that's about and how we can look after each other. And I'm still trying to make sure that we, in that room, at Black Swan now, have those ways to make sure everyone's okay and safe and look after each other. It's going to be different because it's Black Swan. It's not Yuri Yarkin. It's not my own show. It's having that you know, corporation understand where I'm coming from. You know, so that's where I'm at. Thank you.
acknowledgement to elders of the Noongar Nation because a significant elder has just passed. One of the last, if not the last, Karanlup children. And I was reflecting on that this morning, thinking about coming here today, and when we're talking about change and perception and reality, to just remember art itself is the transformative thing. It is the act of resistance. It is all these things that we're trying to do. And we talk a lot about our systems and organisations, but it's actually embedded in the art itself, so many of these important conversations that are intangible and can't be expressed in trivial conversations. Some of the themes, Ian, that you've also raised today about childhood and children and creating a better way, when this question was given to us by Performing Minds, God damn it, why? Make something easier next time. I kind of went existential because I was thinking about the culture of culture. Because if we're going to talk about systems and change them, etc., we have to recognise what the frame that we're dealing with is. And what we don't often talk about well enough, and I'm not going to claim to be able to do it here today, is the culture of our systems and the culture of culture and the arts. And what we're trying to change isn't just our little corner of the world, it's a way of being. And I think this is particularly important in culture and the arts because it's what's been making us human for all these years. And it's so deeply, I think, important to our survival, really, as people and as communities. So this is a simple picture that was given to me years ago in a philosophical course that I did. But I go back to it a lot to try and create a frame every time we have these conversations. And it's really just that here we all are today.